Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And I certainly want to wish Merry Christmas to everybody listening tonight. Certainly Christmas is coming up here this week, Thursday. And if you're in northeastern Ohio here over the Christmas holidays, whether you live here or you're just visiting here, let me invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio for our Christmas Eve candlelight service on Wednesday night, December 24th at 7 o'clock. We'll be meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And we'd love to have you there. You can check out a lot of that information at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Let's go ahead and open our program here with a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. We thank you that we can celebrate the birth of Christ. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless our time here this evening and pray that the program tonight would lift up and glorify Christ. And if there's someone listening tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you'd use the program this evening to help point them to Christ as their Savior, that they might be saved. And for those that are saved, just encourage us, Lord, to use the opportunities you give us to be a witness and testimony for thee. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, as I said, we'll be here till midnight tonight, and we've got some callers calling in right now, but I want to get to one thing first before we start taking our callers here tonight. Every year prior to Christmas, on the Sunday night prior to Christmas, we like to read the account of the birth of Christ on the air. And sometimes we do it in the last half hour, sometimes do it the first half hour, and kind of vary it around. Sometimes people listen to the last half of the program, but not the first, and vice versa. But some years ago, we put together a little booklet, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures, and I can't claim it is original for the first, for one reason. The booklet is entirely composed of passages from the King James Bible. So there's nothing written in there. It's just compiled in a certain readable format. And also the initial idea for this came while my wife and I were serving as missionaries in the Samoan Islands. We wanted to put something together for a Christmas devotional, inspirational reading. And I had found a booklet that was done back in the 50s by somebody who did something similar. And we kind of use that as the basis and expanded from that. And if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, you can actually find out where you can get a free ebook, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. And I think what I'm going to do right now before we get to our callers is we're going to head and read this. This is the birth of Christ. It's entirely the Scriptures from the King James Version of the Bible. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and it shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. But the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And David also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and there shall rule, and that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, or of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they were had fulfilled the days, they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. When you consider what the Scripture has to say about the birth of Christ, it really is amazing. And oftentimes we focus on what Luke records in his gospel or Matthew in his gospel, and we miss some of the other passages that we find in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And again, I just want to hope or wish that you have a very Merry Christmas this year, and that most of all, you keep Christ in your celebrations this year. And remember, You know, there's the old phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, that's absolutely true. We would not have a Christmas to celebrate if it wasn't for the birth of Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ represents the greatest gift that was ever given. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. If you don't, what a great time, Christmas time would be to receive God's greatest gift. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and as I said, you can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got a number of people who've been calling in, ready to get on the program, and we'll start taking some of our calls here. And if you're on the line, hold on. We do have a break coming up at the bottom of the hour, but we'll be here till midnight. If you can hold on, stick with us. And we're going to take, I believe, Edward in Cleveland, Ohio first. Edward, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks. What you read, thank you. I probably heard it last year. And
yeah, I try to read it every year. So,
and I actually called in about that without realizing that you were going to read that.
Oh, okay.
What happened was earlier in this evening when I was listening to the radio, there was a preacher that was on, and I agree with most of what he says, but he explained the what I will call the conception of Christ in such a way that I think it was unscriptural.
Okay.
And the flaw that I think happened was he was trying to explain the nature of Christ to be sinless, which is proper,
mm-hmm.
but he used his thinking to subject the scriptures to his thinking instead of taking his thinking from the scriptures.
Right.
So what he came up with, and by the way, I mean, I'm trying to be ethical about this. I did call into his program, but he wasn't taking any calls. So,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to get the truth out. So I felt that if anyone was still hanging on, that they would hear my comments. And actually, I don't really need to comment because what you read explained it all. But, even though it would take me about an hour and 45 minutes to explain, why I believe that Jesus Christ is both the Son of God and the Son of David through his descendant Mary.
Right.
I can do it real quick. And it would refute some of what he was saying, because basically what he was saying is similar to what the Watchtower was teaching. And I've heard about it.
Yeah, they do not believe that he's a deity. They, in fact, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe he's Michael the Archangel.
Well, there was another preacher that they explained it similarly, even though they call him God, and they say that they believe in the deity of Christ, the way I've heard some preachers explain it, and also one book from Moody Publishers, and they say that that's the name you can trust. No, that's not the name we can trust.
It was at one time.
The name we're to trust is Jehovah and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, what they were teaching is that to protect the sinlessness of Christ, they taught that that God basically created a body in the womb, and that's not what the scriptures teach. There was a conception.
Yes,
that occurred.
It specifically says that. Yes, that yes, which was yes. conceived of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, you read it. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't even need to comment. But what the Bible teaches is that God begat His Son. He didn't create mm-hmm. His Son. He begat His Son. He was made of a woman. And in, if I may read some scripture here, this is from Acts chapter 2, starting
right.
with verse 29.
And I'll just let you know we're running up on the break here.
Okay, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne.
Right.
So what I believe is that what happened was the seed of God, which is his word, and the seed of Mary, based on Genesis 3:15, which was, she was a daughter of David.
Right,
you know,
she was a
many,
descendant
many
through Nathan.
Generations removed.
Yeah.
They united, or a conception occurred, and the flesh of Jesus Christ was Davidic, and the blood of Jesus Christ was divine from his father.
Right.
That's basically what I believe. But he said this particular preacher denied genetic material from the mother, and that contradicted Scripture. So I wanted to get that out there, because the Bible, like I said, what you read was excellent. There was no comments. That's all that was necessary. And you also brought forth, you know, more things other than the conception of Christ. And I thank you for reading that, and thanks for letting me comment.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that, and certainly have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you too.
Well.
Merry
I appreciate
Christmas.
That. And again, just touch on something there. Something that confuses people on occasion too is that there's two genealogies of Jesus given, and people get confused with that, because actually in Luke we have a genealogy of Jesus Christ that goes back to King David, and it goes through his son Nathan, and that brings us down to Mary. It actually goes to, let me see if I get the right one correct here. I might get the two mixed up. We'll have to pick this up on the second half, because we are coming up hard on the break here, and I've got a couple more callers calling in. But in the second half, we'll pick up. I'll touch on the two genealogies, Matthew and Luke's genealogy, real quick, and then we'll get into our calls as quick as we can in the second half. And, of course, some of this information is on our website at livewithpastoral.com. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM, locally it's AM 1220, but that's in the Cleveland area, But we're also on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida. And so we're certainly welcoming all of our listeners, whether you're here in Northeast Ohio or all the way down into Florida. We welcome you to be with us tonight. And, of course, let me mention real quick that program's brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. And East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, right outside of Cleveland on the east side, is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you can contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And it doesn't matter, Ohio, Florida, or somewhere in between. Give him a call, East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business or adding pizza to your line at a restaurant or a diner or something like that, he'll help you out, gladly help you out. Tell him you heard about him here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're going to get back to our callers. We've got a number of callers waiting patiently for us tonight, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let me just mention real quick, going into the break there, we were mentioning the genealogies in Matthew and Luke. Matthew's genealogy in Matthew chapter 1 gives you the generations of Jesus, or actually the genealogy of Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, back to King David. And Jesus was not born of Joseph, but Joseph was his stepfather. And of course, people would have been interested in that genealogy. And then in Luke chapter 3, starting in about verse 23, you have the genealogy of Jesus, the genealogy like our caller brought out, where we see his human side through Mary, his mother, back through David, through David's son Nathan. Joseph was a descendant through David's son Solomon, but Mary was a descendant through David's son Joseph. And then, of course, David's son Nathan. I'll get myself twisted around here if I'm not careful, but looking at the going between the two. But we go back in Luke's genealogy all the way back to the statement that brings us back to Adam here in Luke chapter 23, verse 38, which was son of Enos, which was son of Seth, which is son of Adam, which was the son of God. And that also serves to remind us that Jesus Christ was the son of God according to the flesh. So that's tremendous. He was 100% man. He became a man and dwelt among us, but he was also 100% God. And God was manifest in the flesh. Well, we're going to get to our callers here. We have Michelle calling in from Tampa tonight. And Michelle, thank you for waiting. And we lost Michelle. I'm sorry. It's if you're out there, Michelle, I know it's been a little while. You called in early in the program. Give us a call back if you get a chance. And we'd love to hear from you. We've got Brian in Parma, I think, up next. And Brian, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hey, good to have you tonight.
Yeah, good. Good to finally get a hold of you. I got a question. You know, it's commonly preached in Baptist churches that when the rapture takes place, immediately we enter into the tribulation period.
Okay.
And lately I've been kind of questioning that, because it seems to me like the tribulation period actually starts with the opening of the first seal in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm just wondering if you could give me some insight as to why we believe that immediately the tribulation starts at the point of the rapture, or could there be like a gap somewhere in between the two events?
Well, that's a very good question. And
I'm going to hang up the phone, and I'm going to listen to you and
all right.
Go over with me. I got my Bible open that way. I can flip through and studied a little better as you're talking.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Pastor Al.
Yeah, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 9, and thank you for that question. I've grown up in independent Baptist churches, and I've been exposed to that, but I guess I'm not on the same page as all the Baptists if they're teaching that, because even though I'm an independent Baptist, I believe that the rapture will take place, and then the tribulation will occur after the rapture, but it will not start immediately after the rapture necessarily. And that is because, as our caller suggested, when the first seal is opened, somewhere in that time frame, the revelation of the Antichrist occurs. And that may he may be revealed actually prior to that, because, see, here's the key. In Daniel chapter 9, the Bible talks about the last week. There's a vision of 70 weeks. Now, each one of these days in these weeks stands for years. And the Bible talks about after 62 weeks, Messiah being cut off, and that would deal with the time that Jesus was betrayed and he was crucified. He was rejected. And then there's a pause in there. And during that pause, and let me just read it, Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's the destruction of Jerusalem and the rebuilt temple that Jesus preached in. That's the second temple, and that was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70 AD, and it says, the people of the prince that shall come. So it's referring to a future prince who would be connected with the people who destroy the city and the sanctuary. And it says, in the end there shall be with the flood, and under the end of the war, desolations are determined. In verse 27, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week shall he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now, that 1 week, that's the seven-year tribulation period. Those 7 days represent the 7 years of the tribulation period. And so the tribulation does not start with the catching away or the rapture of the believers. It starts with the confirmation of a covenant with many, meaning with the Jewish people, for a seven-year period. And then, of course, we know that it's talking about the tribulation, because in the middle of the tribulation, in the middle of the week, he causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease, which means that the temple is rebuilt during this time, because otherwise they wouldn't have sacrifices and oblations. And then it says, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so this is not when Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig in the second temple, because that temple was destroyed. So this is in a future temple that's rebuilt. And I believe this corresponds to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the Bible calls him the son of perdition, the wicked one, appears, and he seats himself in the temple and declares himself to be God. And I believe that also corresponds to Revelation chapter 13, which occurs at the midpoint of the tribulation, where the mark of the beast is instituted. So all of that takes place during the tribulation. So this week has to refer to the tribulation. It starts with the signing of the covenant with the Jewish people, which presumably will be some kind of a peace or defense treaty that'll bring peace to the region initially. And then that's when the Antichrist in the seal, the first seal, I think it's Revelation 6, goes forth on the white horse conquering, and he has a bow but no arrows, and he's a false Christ. And he will do that. So I actually think that the first seal will take place shortly after the signing of this covenant. But it'll be signed some point after the rapture or the catching away of the believers. A day after, a week after, a month after, a year after, we don't know. I don't think it'll be too long after, but it'll be somewhere in that period. So hopefully we covered that, and we covered it kind of quickly there. We'll, I'm sure, talk about this more in the future. And I appreciate that call in regards to the start of the tribulation. One more thing, too. Revelation chapter 4 starts with the Apostle John being caught up into heaven as a type of the believer, a type of the church, or the Christians. And he's caught up,
And then while he's in heaven is when the seven sealed book is brought out and the seals begin to be broken. And if John is a picture of the believers being caught up into heaven at the start of the, before the tribulation starts, then he's caught up prior to the breaking of the seal. And so there's obviously some kind of a time frame in there between the catching away of the believers, the signing of the covenant by the Antichrist, and the beginning of the tribulation. So hopefully we touched on that clearly enough, and we'll, I'm sure, talk about it again in the future. So, but I appreciate that call tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I look and see Michelle's back on the line. So glad to have you back, Michelle. Thanks for calling back.
Thank you.
Hi, sorry to keep you so long waiting.
No, it's okay. I'm learning the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question I'm a little confused about.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about the Holy Trinity. I was wondering if Jesus, they said, is in the form of man but also God. Now, I was wondering, is he a separate person from God or are they the same person? I'm a little confused.
All right. Yeah, that can get a little confusing because of some of the terminology that's used sometimes. You know, we talk about the first begotten and things like that. The firstborn, Jesus as the Son of God, and then he prays and he talks to God the Father. Let me go over, and we'll start toward the end here in Revelation chapter 1, and just look at a few scriptures here real quick. In Revelation chapter 1, the Bible is talking about John's receiving a revelation from Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And when you see this reference here, and the first begotten of the dead, I started with that. A lot of times I work up to that one because that tells you very clearly what the term first begotten and also related term firstborn refers to. Jesus is the first to die and experience the resurrection. You remember when Jesus was crucified, they laid him in the tomb, and he rose from the dead. Now, he had raised people from the dead like Lazarus, but that wasn't a resurrection. They were raised from the dead only to die again. They still had a mortal body. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was the first of the resurrection, and so he had a resurrected body, an immortal body, a body that would last forever, and in the resurrection, that's the type of body that we would receive. So that's basically what he's referring to there, but the confusing part comes in with what we call the Trinity. And are you familiar with how that's usually described?
The Holy Spirit. I'm learning a little
bit.
Yeah,
no, that's why I asked. The Trinity, actually, I have a thing on our website, livewithpastoral.com, where I go through this in some little detail on a previous program that it's separated out. I've got some favorite clips there on the one side of the page, on the right side of the page, and encourage people to go there. But briefly, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:8, and these three are one. Now, modern versions attack that. They leave it out, and they do that mistakenly. In fact, the New International Version has a footnote that says that it wasn't in any manuscripts prior to the 1800s or something like, or 16th century, something like that. But it's kind of curious because Tyndale, writing in, I think it was in the, I want to say the 1500s, whatever it was, but it was well before that. He referenced those verses. He had manuscripts that had it in there. In fact, I've read things where people in the first, second, third, and fourth centuries had those passages. And that's a very, very important teaching on the Trinity. These three are, or there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, meaning they're one being. not three separate gods, you know, like some people will accuse Christians of being polytheists, like the Muslims, for instance, and even some of the Jews will look at Christians as believing in more than one God. But the key is in Genesis chapter 2, actually chapter 1 and chapter 2. If you look in Genesis chapter 2, God says in verse 26, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And we see God here referred to as creating man in his image. We're creating God's image. And the image of God, God's a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you can see in chapter 2, we're created the same way, in his image. It says in verse 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." That's your physical body. And Jesus is the you know, God made manifest in the flesh. So Jesus, the God the Son, represents the physical manifestation of God within his creation, just like you and I have physical bodies. You know, we can meet people and we can talk to people and see each other, but we see our physical presence. And then he says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That would be the Spirit. And of course, corresponding in the Godhead, we have God the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the final part, it says, "And man became a living soul," and that would equate to your intellect, your will, your emotion, that sort of part of you, your reason. And that would correspond to God the Father. And when you see that and you recognize we're creating God's image, we're a three-part being. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit, which is not analogous to God as a three-part being with a physical part of him, God, you know, the Son, and a spirit part of him, God, the Holy Spirit, and the what would be the equivalent of our soul, the Father, God the Father, and we're in his image. And it also gives you an excellent insight into how we should live, because Jesus in his earthly ministry said that what the Father tells me to do, that's what I do. What the Father tells me to say, that's what I say, which gives us an illustration that our flesh should be in subject to our mind, or, you know, to our soul, making a decision, telling our flesh what to do rather than the other way around. We get into trouble because, and we use the expression, "Well, I just got in the flesh. I didn't think what I was doing. I was acting in the flesh." And that's a problem. We let the flesh tell us what to do rather than telling the flesh what we should do. And then, of course, we have a spirit, and God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, communes with our spirit and speaks to our spirit and guides us through our spirit as we read his word. And so we can see where the Spirit of God can lead us through our spirit into making the right decisions, because the flesh, unfortunately, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, is still the same old flesh. It's not yet been redeemed. Your spirit was changed. You became a new creature in Christ when you trust Christ as your Savior. Your old dead spirit is now alive in Christ. It's a new creature in Christ, but the flesh is still dead in sin. And when the rapture takes place in the change, the catching away the believers, the Bible says this mortal will put on immortality, this corrupt will put on incorruption, and will no longer have a sin nature. So I know I went through a lot pretty quickly there, but did that help out?
Yeah, it did very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I encourage you, if you got a chance, check out our website, livewithpastoral.com, and you can find the passage there on the Trinity of God. I go into that a little more depth. I went through a lot of material pretty quickly right there. But it can be confusing. But you know, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body, but you're not three separate people. You're one person, and made up of those three parts in the image of God. So I appreciate the question there tonight, Michelle.
Thank you. I've been listening to your show for about 2 or 3 months now. It's my first time calling, so I will be calling it again.
Well, we're glad to have you and appreciate the question there. And right. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless. Thanks for the call. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Jeremiah, who's also been patiently waiting through almost the whole program here tonight. Jeremiah, welcome to the program tonight. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
I have the King James Version Bible open to the Matthew chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two stars behind next to the Matthew. That means it's fulfilled prophecy.
Right.
I'm going to read one of them.
Okay.
It says, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And go down to the 25th verse.
Mm-hmm.
"And knew her not till she was brought forth firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus."
Right.
This basically, it talks about the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, those verses.
Right, and that was a fulfillment of prophecy because the prophet Isaiah, it said a sign would be given. Remember, he said a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And, some translations change it. Instead of saying a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, they say a young woman or a maiden. And there's really no miraculous thing in a young woman giving birth to a child. But when it says, here it is, Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And now that's the miraculous, to conceive a child and not have a man involved. And that's what we talked about also a little bit earlier on the program, how that Mary had given birth to the Christ child that was conceived within her womb by the Holy Ghost. And so God literally took, the half of the DNA from Mary, as in a normal conception, and then supplied the other half so that the child would be both the son of David, going back through Mary's genealogy, but also be the son of God, because God himself supplied the DNA that Mary could not supply, and in a miraculous way.
Now, as Jesus got older, and as he got older, now God was still his father, right?
Well, yes, in that sense, because Jesus was God the Son, and as I was talking with our previous caller, when we look at the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and so Jesus was God the Son. He was God manifest in the flesh, as Paul wrote to Timothy. And so God took on the form of a man and dwelt among us. He lived in this world, or as John recorded, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so he was still every bit God. He was God, God the Son, but he became a human being and dwelt among us, so he became a man, but he never ceased to be God. And in that sense, he still was God the Son. And in the Godhead, you could see the order of authority flowing God the Father through God the Son. Jesus himself echoed that. He said, "That which the Father tells me to do, I do. That which the Father tells me to say, I say," that sort of thing. So, but hey, we're about out of time there tonight. And I just want to thank you for calling. Merry Christmas to everybody. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.